to the Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Welcome to another Watchman's Cry broadcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, folks, there's so much that we need to talk about. There are so many topics that I plan to talk about in the days ahead. But for tonight, what I wanted to discuss is going to turn out totally different than what I had planned. God led me in a different direction for tonight, and He's given me some words that I believe that He really wants me to share. So I'm going to do that. So this new direction, we have to follow what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So that's what we're going to do. Now, before I begin, I want to discuss a few current events that are going on right now. Now, here we are. It's the beginning of May, and gas is at approximately $3.50 a gallon for regular. At least that's where I live. That's what it costs. It might be a little bit higher for the middle grade or even the premium. And if that's the case, there are some people with cars that need to have premium. So that's going to be taking more money from them. Now, folks, all we have to do is just every week look at the price of gas and seeing how high it's going. And it's hard at this point to deny that something is going on, that something has begun in this country, that something's going on in this world. It's hard. We can't put a positive spin on what's going on any longer. So that's what we're addressing, and that's why God is raising up voices all over the land. I'm one of many, but that's why He's doing this, and that's why I am here to share and talk about what's going on. Now, food prices, if anyone is observant, you know, I've talked to some people and asked them, have you noticed how food's going up at the store? And I'm shocked and surprised how some people say, is it? It is? It really? And, you know, all you have to do is just be an observant person. Go down the cereal aisle and look at the boxes of cereal. Here where I live, I remember a box of Post Toasties cereal, you know, cornflakes, was real tall, over a foot tall, and it was 3 or 4 inches thick. And now you go down the cereal aisle, and some of the cereals that have fun stuff inside of them, like berries and cherries and strawberries, or special brands, those boxes are only 1.5 inches thick, and they're not very tall at all, and the prices are still the same. So a lot of consumers who aren't paying attention put those in their cart, and they don't notice that they're getting less cereal. When they get home, it doesn't compute with them that they only got to fill up their bowl twice before the box was empty. So those kind of things are going on. It's hard not to miss if you're an aware person. So that is very concerning, what's going on with food. I myself live in a rural area of Colorado, and I raise chickens. It's a family project that we have going. We have about 30 chickens, and you know, the feed that we pay for our chickens to feed them, those 50-pound bags of meal that we get, the corn, is going up and up and up. It's amazing. Every week that we go to buy the feed, it's up another quarter or 35 cents or a couple of times it was up even higher than that. So now here I am paying almost $13 a bag. And at the feed store, I asked the owner, what's going on? Of course, I know what's going on. We have changes coming, winds of change are coming upon the whole world. But out of curiosity, I would ask the store owner about the prices. And they said that it's not just chicken feed that's going up. It's for everything. By the way, they said for the horse feed, for the rabbit feed, and they even sell dog food and cat food. And the owner that I was talking to said that dog food has lamb in it. And in the last month or two, lamb has actually doubled in price that's put into dog food. And then on top of that, you have the corn that's gone up in price. So dog food from these feed stores has gone up considerably. Corn has doubled. Folks, when it comes to food, everything is tied together. Everything's related to each other. Farmers spend fuel on their tractors, and the fuel prices are going up for the farmers. Fertilizer has a petroleum base. The farmers are paying more for that. And then we have corn that once was just used for food, now being taken to, they tell us, use as an additive or an entire supplement for fuel to make ethanol. And that's just a mess, because what it's doing is taking the supply of corn and raising the price, causing a higher demand. And it's just messing up the entire food chain of prices in the commodities market. And it's not going to get any better. It's just going to go higher and higher and higher. Now, corn is one of the staple ingredients of feed for cows, like I was just saying. And think about this. If the feed goes up for cows, then that means the milk's going to go up. That means that the price of the cow when it gets slaughtered and sent to the butcher is going to go up. Meat is going to go up, and anyone that's been paying attention can attest to that. Meat has gone up. I've heard some levels of 50% higher in the last few months or compared to last year. It's just crazy. It's off the charts. What's going on? Now, then there's corn that is placed in dog food, cat food. Corn is placed in your breakfast cereal. So that's going up. So that's going to affect the price of the food staples that you see in the store. The ingredients of corn are also included in oils, corn oil, corn meal. I mean, I can go on and on, but basically, bottom line, all food is going up and it's getting crazy and it's going to become out of reach because that's the days that we live in. Now, that's just corn that we mentioned. What about other grains that are out there? Wheat. Well, I was curious about that before I started today's broadcast, so I decided to look up any news that might have been on the internet. And lo and behold, here I have a story that I wanted to share. This comes from News Channel 13 in Colorado Springs. The title of the report says, Wheat Prices Hit Record High. Colorado Springs, the cost of wheat has hit an all-time high, record high throughout the country, according to Bloomberg News. The world's preeminent grain rose more than 25% last month, the biggest increase since 1973. And of course, the price that it is now is at a record high. Now that's bad news for everyone. Vendors raise their prices, forcing retailers to charge more to their customers. A local bagel shop in Colorado Springs is feeling the effects from the price increase. I was paying around $11 a bag of wheat last fall. Now, I'm paying between $21 to $25 a bag for wheat, said the owner of Old World Bagels. Now folks, those stories are coming out daily from all around the world. And I still find it pretty amazing that when I talk to people, I talk to family members that really aren't paying attention. I talk to friends in the church. I talk to friends in the neighborhood to try to get a feel of how things are going in their lives. Is there an alarm going off in other people's hearts? And surprisingly, you know, the answer is no. There's a lot of people that are not concerned still. We see the prices going up. We see the gas prices going up. We're hearing of the struggles that people are having. My wife tells me that she saw on Craigslist, she was on there and, you know, it's getting more and more. The only way you can afford to buy anything is to buy it secondhand from someone else. So Craigslist, the website on the internet, if you haven't heard of it, to buy used things or find jobs. My wife said that she has actually read articles where people are listing things to sell that they're trying to get rid of just to buy gas to go to work. Now, folks, the times we are living in, 1 year ago, these kinds of stories that I'm reading about and that I'm hearing about were unheard of just a year ago. 2 years ago, it would be like a fantasy to think of some of the stories we're hearing. The most surprising thing to me is that people here in America still are asleep and they don't get it. They don't realize that we are in trouble. They don't realize that the heat has been turned on and like a frog in the pot, the water's getting hotter and hotter and they don't realize how it's going to affect their lives. They're totally blind. Now, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, do you respond with anger? Do you respond with surprise? Do you respond with taking out that cartoon mallet out of your back pocket? You know, that big mallet that cartoons have and hit them on top of the head and say, wake up. But folks, I want to wake you up. I need to wake you up. I need to warn. My job as a watchman is to warn. There is no nice way to warn people though. There's not a courteous way to say, hey, wake up, we're in trouble. There's just not a courteous way to do that. As a watchman, I have to use my intensity of my passion to try to wake you up because lives are going to depend on this. Your family, who are maybe minors, you have kids or your wife depends on you. It is up to you to wake up and to be aware to prepare for this. Now, let me give you a little analogy. If your house was burning and it was 3 a.m. and I happen to be coming across your house, I'm in my car and I see flames coming out the top of your house, and I got out of my car and I stood in your front yard and I knew that you were asleep inside your house because it's 3 a.m, of course, and all the lights are off. Would it be discourteous for me to take a brick and throw it through your window to wake you up and say, hey, your house is on fire. You need to get out of your house. Would that be rude for me to do that? Of course it would not. According to the need, you might sometimes need to meet the need with intensity, and that's what I'm trying to do right now, brethren. That's what I'm trying to do, brothers and sisters, is to wake people up. It is time for us to realize that the judgment of God has begun over this land. It is time for us to realize that we are in transition. Hear me. God's judgment has begun. Across this land, famine is coming. Let me say that again. In America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the breadbasket of the world in times past, famine is coming. Now, this watchman has received the words of warning from God. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Stop wasting money, folks. Don't buy that luxurious item that you were saving up for to buy. Right now, the most important thing right now for your family is for you to buy food and to be prepared. You know, there's even people that I'm surprised that are Christians who should know better are wasting their money on material things. Christians should not be attached to this world. Christians should not be in love with this world. But even still, Christians are in love with, they are in love with this world and in love with material things and in love with how they look to other people. And they are attached and worried and concerned about what they drive into the parking lot when they go to church, that they're wasting money on things that are meaningless in heaven. You know, some of you worry about how cool your car looks. These might be some harsh words, but listen to me. You need to stop it. Quit worrying about how your car looks to other people. How many of you really process that? How many people really think about that? You know, should I be buying this right now? Should I be buying that right now? If you were unemployed, if you happen to lose your job, do you have 6 months of savings like they recommend people having? How many people do that? Very, very few. People, we are in a society of debt. The average person, they say, has $8,000 to $20,000 on their credit card, and people are living that way. We have to stop living that way. So we have to stop buying things that way. We have to put perspective back into our lives. We have to put priorities back into our lives and start preparing, like I keep saying. Buy food, folks. This is what I'm talking about. This is a message of this watchman. Now, a few days ago, I was asking the Lord for a message to share with my listeners, and God gave me a message, so I want to share it with you right now. I have it here in front of me, and I want to share it with you, and the words you're about to hear are a message that He gave me, so here they are. To those that would have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, it has become so. The judgment that was at the door has walked through the threshold. The patience of the Lord God Almighty has diminished and grown weary. The sins of the land have poisoned the waters of America and are overflowing the banks. The waters and the rivers of America are full of the blood of the murdered unborn. They are full of iniquity. They are full of adultery. They are full of fornication. They are full of the abomination of Sodom. The waters are polluted. The waters are polluted. The waters are polluted. They are foul. Therefore, this watchman declares and cries out over the land that the judgment of the Lord Jehovah has begun. Because the people of apostasy did not desire the truth nor the living water of the Word of God, prepare to see the poisoning of the water of the land. Because the ears of the sleeping have been closed to the cries of the prophets, prepare to hear the cries of the people as God allows them to be stripped of their earthly idols and possessions. Because the people of apostasy did not desire the true bread of life, prepare to see the bread of man become more precious than gold. Famine will reach the shores of America. Idle hands will be replaced with hands searching for food. Because the people of apostasy placed material goods, cars, and wealth over holiness, prepare to see these people living in their cars. The land weary and full of iniquity will soon answer the cry from heaven with famine, with earthquakes, and with the tempest of deadly storms. Therefore, let the people of God seek shelter in the heart of God with repentance, tears, and reverence. Let the people of God seek the wisdom of God for instruction to weather the days ahead. This watchman has declared it. Let it be so. Amen and amen. Folks, that was a message that the Lord gave me a few days ago. It was 2 a.m. and I was seeking after God, and that's what He gave me. And that's not a kind, comforting word. That's not a word of prosperity. That's not a word that says peace, peace, all is well. That's not a word that says peace and safety, or that you're secure, or that everything's going to be great, or God wants to bless you this year. It's not a word like that. It's a word from Almighty God, and He's trying to wake us up, saints. Brethren, it is so important in this day and age for us to be prudent. In Proverbs 22, verse 8, it says, "The prudent man foresees evil coming and hides himself, but the simple man pass on, and they are punished." So even according to the Bible, it is wise, it is prudent to look at the horizon, to look at what is coming, to look and to seek God, to know that the days that are approaching are not like regular days. They are not days that you have ever witnessed in your life. The days that are coming are unexperienced by any of us living right now. They're going to be hard days, brethren. They're going to be hard. And it's time for God's people to wake up from their slumber. It's time for us to cast aside the love that we have for this world. That's the other message God has. Folks, the most precious things in your life are not things. They're your family. They're your husband. It's your wife. It's your children, it's your parents, and it's your brethren. Now the Bible says that they will know us by the love that we have one for another, and it's time for us to get back to that. It's time for us to get back to the basics. It's time for us to discover our first love once again. Now, are you still with me? If you are, God bless you. Thank you. These are hard words, but I love you, saints. That is what is lacking in the pulpits of America right now. Hard words. Amen? That's what's lacking in the pulpits of America right now. True words. Words that don't tickle the ears of the listeners. Now, the body of Christ needs to hear the truth and not be pampered. Pampering the flock does not work. It doesn't work to just keep them happy. That doesn't work. Look at the mess we're in, brethren. Look at the mess. We've been pampered for too long. We have been pampered for too long, and we're in a mess still. So obviously that message is not working. And you know what? These multi-million dollar megachurches with their coffee bars, they've taken hell, they've taken adultery, they've taken holiness out of the message, and they're wasting my time, and they're wasting your time. Brother, my family goes to a megachurch. That's what someone might be saying. My family likes my megachurch. It's a cool megachurch. It's nice and shiny. We have a new building, and the carpet smells fresh, and our parking lot's really neat, and there's even a police officer at the light to help us get out of traffic, and we have a coffee bar, and our music's great. Well, you know what? That's really great. Good for you. That's good that you love your megachurch. But you know what? If the old-fashioned gospel of holy living and sanctification and separation from this world and salvation in the Lord Jesus is not being preached there, you're wasting time there. If you have family members that attend there with you, like your husband or your wife or your children, and they're not being challenged in their walk with God, then you're wasting time. If the message of the cross has been replaced with that, you know, that seminar that's in the bulletin, a seminar on this or a seminar on that, how to retire with your 401k, how to be happy, how to have prosperity, then you're wasting time. Folks, hear me. Listen to what I'm saying. Today's church is powerless over the struggle with sin. It's true. Today's church has no teeth. Today's church has not given any teeth to the people that sit there. They have not been taught how to fight the spiritual battle. Christians today have not been taught how to put on the armor of God. They have not been taught how to use the word of God. They have not been taught to hide the word in their heart so they will not sin against the Lord. They have not been taught to think about the things of God that are pure and holy and just. They haven't been taught about the commandments of God, about the statutes of God, that the words of God are pure words. They have not been taught that. And if they're not being taught that, they're wasting time. They need to be taught about sin. Because now, what do we see churches offering? We see them offering retreats and seminars on everything that does not make you stronger spiritually. That's what's being offered in these churches. 2 Timothy 3 verse 7 says, "Forever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." So what are you saying, brother? My church is bad? Is that what you're saying? This is what I'm saying. That instead of the people of God spending their time tickling their intellect, we need to spend our time on our knees and we need to clean up our lives. People in church need to lay down those sins, those vices, the weights that are keeping them down. Now, we're all in this together, brethren. We're all human, and I understand that. I'm a human being just like you are. I'm in a body of flesh just like you are. I know the struggles of carnality just like you do. We all know the same struggles, but it is time for us to lay those weights down. You know, for too long, we have tolerated sin in our own life. We've tolerated sin in our family members' lives or on our friends' lives because we didn't want to offend them. And we've been given this muzzle that's been given to the church that basically has told Christians to shut up. And that muzzle is, don't judge him, brother. Don't judge him, sister. Who are you to judge? Why are you taking that speck out when you have one? You know, that's the muzzle that we've been given, but also in that part of Scripture where it talks about the speck, it says, first take it out of your eye, then take it out of their eye. So that doesn't mean that you cannot do it. And it's time for us to be accountable to one to another. It's time for us to weigh down those weights because, saints, what is coming upon the earth, the judgment of God that is coming, is going to be a time that God wants to get our attention. It's going to be a time where we're going to have to get our hearts back to where they're supposed to be. It's going to be a time where we're going to have to return to our first love of our Lord Jesus, Yeshua. That's what it's going to be about. The people that choose to walk that walk, the people that choose to allow God to strengthen them and to teach them things through what's coming are the ones that are going to endure and make it. The ones that are knuckleheads are the ones that are going to have a hard time. Now, there's a lot of sin in the church right now. There is a lot of sin in the church right now. Now, in times past, I can remember hearing from the pulpits of evangelical churches, famous evangelists, and people who are on TV, had big budgets, I could remember hearing them talk about how evil the other church was that they didn't go to, how evil the people were in other churches. I know a lot of evangelical ministers and evangelists and preachers have talked about how evil the Catholics are or how bad the Episcopalians are. It seems like it's real easy to find another denomination to pick on and to identify and say they're evil. But folks, let me tell you something. I'm not picking on the Catholics right now. I'm talking about the evangelical churches. There is a lot of sin in the evangelical churches right now, possibly even yours, because divorce is at 50% in evangelical churches. Abortion is running rampant and happening in evangelical churches. So let's quit picking on the other guys. Let's quit picking on the Catholics, folks. Let's start looking in the mirror. I, myself, am an evangelical Christian, so I'm picking on myself here. We have a lot to be ashamed about. There is sin in the church. There are people that go to church that are tolerating the sin in their own lives, and they're playing with it, and it's time for us to lay down those weights. Some of you people listening to me, you are enjoying fantasies in your life. Some of you have thought about carrying out fantasies. Some of you are doing the fantasies right now. You're actually engaged in the fantasies, and now you're in adultery. You're in relationships that are not of God, that are full of sin. Some of you are having an affair, and you know you're not supposed to be doing that. You think that no one knows? God knows. God knows what's going on, and if you keep that up, you're going to destroy your family. You need to repent from that. You need to seek the help from God. You need to confess that sin to a brother that's close, that you can be accountable with. You need to clean that mess out of your life. Because, brethren, in these last days, we need to clean up all of our hearts. Every one of us. Now, I'm mentioning some horrible sins right now, but they need to be mentioned. Some of you are dabbling with drugs. Some of you are dabbling with thievery and wickedness that you never thought that you would do, but you're doing it anyway, and you think nobody knows about it. And you go to church, and you sit there, and you sing songs to God, and everyone thinks everything is great in your life, and you know it's not. And it's time for you to get rid of that in your life. You know who you are. This message God gave me, He wanted me to address directly all the people of God in the backslidden state that we find ourselves. This is a basic message that we all need to hear. It is time for us to get rid of the backsliding. Okay? It is time. Now, just like in the days of old in the Old Testament when Israel was backslidden, that's what we need to do. We need to repent of those things, and we need to stop it, not keep playing with them. We need to stop it. Now, it says in the Bible that the purpose of God's judgment is to clean up His people. Now, brethren, hear me. God is sovereign, and there is a purpose for what He is about to do. In Isaiah 26, verse 9, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 26:9, look what it says there. For when your judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. When the judgments of God are taking place across the earth, earth's inhabitants learn righteousness. Brethren, the Lord God loves each and every one of you. He wants you to be purified. He wants you to be cleansed. He wants you to give Him something to work with. He wants to protect you. He wants to put His hand over you to protect you and your family, to see you through what's coming. He wants to. Now, hard times seem to accomplish that purpose for the smart one, and there's always going to be fools that do not repent. That's you. If you choose to be hard-hearted and shake your fist at God, I'm sorry, but I cannot help you. Now, to those of you that you want to get closer to God, but you're struggling, praise God, brother. Praise God, brother or sister. We have all struggled. You're not the only one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. It says that in the Bible. Every one of us, your pastor, his righteousness is as filthy rags. There is no human being that has any type of righteousness that is so great God just thinks he's the cat's meow. There's none of us are that great. Okay, brothers and sisters? Now, some of you might be struggling and you think that no one else has ever faced what you're facing. We have all faced the same struggles. How can I say that? Because in the Bible, it says all the sins that can be committed by a human being can be categorized down to three simple categories. Three simple categories. And those are the categories, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Every sin can be in one of those three categories. And if that's the case, we have all failed in every one of those areas. We're all full of pride as human beings. We've all committed the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. With the lust of our eyes, we've seen things that we wanted and we had to have. The lust of the flesh. We saw things that we thought would make us feel good, and we had to do. We've all done that. But saints, in your struggle, I want to give you a word of encouragement. You can be pulled out of this struggle. And I intend to encourage you with that. And we're going to pray together, and God's going to meet your need where it is. He is going to meet you where you are. Now, right now, I'm not just talking about people who are unsaved or have never confessed Jesus, who are not Christians. I'm talking... Now, I am talking to you also. If you've never confessed Christ, and you've heard the gospel and you've been putting it off and you're listening to me right now, I am talking to you. But I'm not only talking to you. I'm also talking to Christians who you've been on this journey for 5, 10, 20 years and you've grown cold. You've grown cold. Your relationship with God is stale. The heavens are brass. When you pray, you don't feel anything. You don't feel like God can hear your voice. You're struggling spiritually. I'm talking to you. All right? And I want to give you a word of encouragement. We've all been there and we can all attest, those of us that are not there any longer, that we can't be pulled out of that. I want to encourage you with that. So what do we do? What do you do? Well, as a watchman, I'm bringing a warning from God that we need to prepare. So step one in our preparation. Now, obviously, food is a preparation, but I want to put that one aside right now. Obviously, is getting our house in order with the practical things, the material things. Yes, there are areas there where we can prepare. But before we can even begin to start preparing in that way, we need to prepare our hearts first. We need to be clearing out the spiritual highways of all obstacles so that God can come in and that He can do a work in our lives and in the lives of our family. Now hear me, brethren. Without spiritual preparation, you're going to store up your food in vain. Now, some of you listening to me right now, I'm pretty sure if you're a seasoned person who's had their ear to the ground for any length of time, you've heard a lot of other people talk about preparation. There's a lot of categories of opinions out there to prepare for what's coming. There are some people that are going to great lengths. I mean, it's Y2K all over again. I mean, get the MREs, get the backpack so you can bug out when the time comes. And also even get your weapons ready, get your ammo, get some sandbags that you can stick in front of your windows. You know, it's almost to the point where you have to make your house into a bunker and put barbed wire around it. I'm not talking about that, okay? And by the way, I don't believe in that. I don't believe that we have to turn our houses into a fortress where any neighbor that might need some food will not be welcome at your house. I don't believe that. I believe that in the times that are coming, that the only way that we're going to survive is to be a giver, is to be prepared spiritually, to be prepared with practical means, with food and other supplies, and also to be a giver and to share with your neighbors. It says in Proverbs, your neighbor depends on you for security, and you should depend on them for security. You shouldn't exclude your neighbors and think them as the enemy. Even if they're not Christians, they still are human beings, and it wouldn't be right to watch someone next door starve while you had your food. So that's not what I'm talking about, okay? I don't believe in that. I believe that we should be the people of God with the mind of Christ to depend on God, to depend on God and to love everyone. You're not more important than your neighbor. We're all equal in this, okay? But spiritual preparation is tantamount. It's the most important part of this whole plan. Because if you're not spiritually prepared, it doesn't matter how many bullets you have. It doesn't matter how fancy of a gun that you have.
I got an AR-15 with all these rounds. Look at this, full metal jacket. I'm ready.
It doesn't matter. You know, you have your sidearms ready to go. Or you have your archery set ready to go hunting. You know, there are some people that are preparing survivalists, and they're preparing totally without God. Even some of them are Christian. They're not including God in their plans. It's all about them doing it. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So the whole purpose of the judgment that's coming is to wake us up and to get us back in a relationship with God in good standing with Him the way we're supposed to be, brethren. So first and foremost, that's why I believe that God wanted me to start this message with you. I was going to share, and I still intend to. There are a lot of the elements of end time prophecy that I am going to share, but this is a basic message, and this is where we have to start. Now, I want to see your family through all this, what's coming. I want to see you make it. I want to see you endure. Now, how do you consecrate yourself, though? How do you do that? Well, if you have your Bible, I have a passage of Scripture that I would like to read, and I would like for you to follow along with me. So in the Old Testament, turn to the book of Joel, one of the minor prophets. Very powerful words in the small, tiny little book of Joel. But turn to the book of Joel right now. If you have to pause me, go ahead and pause me. And when you get there, and I'm serious, folks, I don't want to just read the Scripture without you looking at it. Okay? I want you to look at the Word of God with your own eyes so that you can follow along and this can become part of you, so it can be instilled in you. All right? So turn to Joel. Okay, pause me. Okay, I'm back. I'm paused. Okay, the book of Joel, chapter 1. Pretty easy, right? And we're going to start reading in verse 11. Actually, the entire chapter is good, but let's start reading in verse 11. Now, this is going to address how does a Christian, how does a child of God, how does a person of God consecrate themselves? How do they get back in good standing with God? How do we repent? You know, a lot of times people say, repent. Sounds spiritual and good, but some people don't know how to do that. So for those of you that aren't really sure what that entails, let's read right here, starting in verse 11, chapter 1, Joel 1, verse 11. Be ashamed, you farmers, Wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up, the fig tree has withered, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Ah, the trees of the field are withered. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Now, as we first read that, it sounds like it's talking to farmers and it's referring to crops. But God always has a spiritual meaning behind what he says in prophecy. And when the prophets would speak, God would use metaphors. So what this really is talking about is the condition of the people of Israel at that time. In other words, it's talking to the spiritual leaders of the land, and it's saying, look at the harvest of the children of Israel. Look at the condition of my people. But look at the condition of their hearts and how it's mentioned. It says, be ashamed, you farmers. Jesus said the fields are white with harvest, but the workers are few. Now it's addressing that. It's addressing the spiritual leaders. And it says, you farmers, be ashamed. In fact, it says, start crying. What is that really saying? It's saying that the condition of the people of God is very poor. In fact, they're dying on the vine. The harvest field has perished. The vine's dried up. The fig tree has withered. So, if we were to compare that to the condition of the church today, if we were to compare that to the condition of maybe your spiritual heart, if possibly that's you and you are not where you need to be with God, then that's what this is addressing. The fruit in your life, what you have to show God when it's time for Him to harvest you, what do you have to show for it? So that's what this is addressing. It starts with that. It starts with, first of all, examining the condition of our hearts and the fruit that we have. If there's no fruit, then we do have something to be sad about, to weep over, to grieve over. So that's what this is addressing, the condition of the people of God. As it goes further in verse 13, it says, gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Now it's addressing the priests directly right here. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God, for the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Verse 14, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly or a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Right there's the formula, brethren. That's the formula right there. We have to gird ourselves and lament. We have to be ashamed at our condition. Now that's not the formula that you really hear preached in most churches today. The formula that you hear preached usually today is, what do I have to give to God so that I can get back financially or with material things? What do I have to give to get? God is the genie in the bottle now to give us material things. And basically church has turned into something that people that have a coveting heart are well pleased with, because that's what they hear about. How do I get things from the genie in the bottle, God up in heaven? Instead of God Almighty, the holy God that is displeased with sin, that expects holy living from us, God has turned into more or less a Zeus that lives up on Mount Olympus, that we can do our little offering or our superstitious spell where we throw into a little cup some money and some of our coins, and Zeus up at Mount Olympus will return the favor with a material return, which does not address at all the spiritual condition of our hearts. So here in Joel, we see the formula. Okay, there you go.
How do you consecrate yourself? Well, first of all, it's not happy, happy, joy, joy, is it? It's not everything's great and have a smile on your face. No, it says be ashamed. Be ashamed. Be sad. And you know, Jesus told the parable about the man that went to the temple to pray, the Pharisee, the tax collector. And the tax collector said, you know, he couldn't even look up at heaven. He couldn't look. He said, oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And he beat his chest because he was ashamed. And then you had the Pharisee who thought he was so high and mighty. Lord God, thank you that I'm not like him. Thank you that I'm so pure and holy. Jesus said, who do you think went away forgiven? The one that is ashamed about their sin. I'm not talking about just a guilt feeling. I'm talking about actual remorse, a lamenting to God. You know, that sin that you've been tolerating in your life, you should be lamenting that to God. You should be ashamed of yourself. You know, some of you have done things that you never thought you would do, and now here you are. You know, if you're having that adulterous affair, shame on you for allowing yourself to do that. But let's go on beyond that. I say a shame on you because it's not something to feel glorious about. You should feel ashamed when you know the pain that that could cause to your family and to destroy your house, your family, that you wouldn't see your kids anymore. That's horrible. So take that to God and feel ashamed about it. Feel ashamed about it and stop doing it. You need to break it off now. You need to get on the phone and say, I'm done. I have sinned against God, but I'm done. You need to break that relationship. brother or sister. You need to stop it. And the reason I'm addressing adultery is because it is rampant in the church right now. It's rampant. If it's an internet type relationship, someone you met in a chat room, had a cyber affair, you know, that become rampant too in a lot of people's lives on the internet. And I could go on and on about all the other sins that are out there, but folks, it's time to be ashamed about our sins. It's time to weep and mourn and wail and lament and tell God, oh God, why did I let myself get to this? How could I allow myself to do this, God? God, have mercy on me. Forgive me, God. Please, Lord, forgive me. And with that, folks, asking God to give you the strength to stop that sin, to lay the weight down. Now, when we cry out to God, we have to believe that He hears us, because He does. He's there in heaven waiting to hear our voices cry out to Him. And He wants to hear us repent to Him and admit that we have things that we are ashamed of. That's step one, saints. Now, to the men that are listening, you are the head of the household. If you're a Christian man, you're a family that goes to church, you are the head of the household, my brother. It is your job to consecrate your heart to God, to allow God to protect your family for what's coming. It's your job. By you doing that, as a priest of the house, your children have a covering under you. You're their protector. It is your job to be under the hand of God. You're consecrated to God, and then your family is under you. They're under your protection. So if you want your family to be able to endure what's coming, to be protected, then step one, the most important part of all this, is that you concentrate your life to God, my brother. Okay? Now, if there's no man in the house and it's just a woman, a single parent, then it's you. You're the next step. Your children are under you. So you cannot be gambling with sin, because if you do, God cannot have His hand over you, my sister. And if He doesn't have His hand over you, then it's open season to your family. Your children depend on you in a like manner. They're under you, all right? Now, I'm giving a basic message, and most of you that are listening know what I'm talking about, but I'm just saying it to remind those of you that are listening that with what's coming, it's going to be so horrible and trying that we need to at least know that the hand of God is over us. We need to know that we're under the feather of His wing, the shelter of His wing. That's the key. So I want to end with a prayer with all of you listening. So I ask you right now, if it's possible, if you're in a place that you can pray, you know, if you're alone, I'm going to pray for you right now. And as I pray, agree with me, but don't let it stop there. I'm going to ask God for His help in all this mess that might be in your life. And after I'm done, don't let it be it. You keep going to God and you keep making sure you clean up every part, okay? Heavenly Father, dear Jesus, Lord God Almighty, Yeshua, we come to You right now, God, and we ask You, Lord, You see our sins. You see the mess that we're in. You see the dark stains of our hearts, the dark stains that are over us of the failures that we've done. Lord, we admit all these, God. We know that we're a mess, and Lord, we repent of all that, Lord. And God, we ask You, in Your mercy, with all of Your tender mercies, Lord, to forgive us. Forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our backsliding. We have sinned before You. We have allowed idols into our lives. We've gone to places and we've done things that bring shame to us and shame to You. Lord, we repent of that, Lord. And Lord, forgive us for those too. Some of us, we have sinful relationships. We have been wicked. Show us, God, that our hearts have been hardened. And those of us that do have hard hearts, God, break our hard hearts. Break them, God. Take away all the hardness. Let the tears of repentance flow down from us, God, as we lament, as we weep and we grieve in the shame of our sin, Lord. Break up the fallow ground of our hearts and let us return to You. Give us the strength, God, also to forsake the sins of our flesh, the sins of our fathers, the sins that we've committed, the sins that we've entangled ourselves with. Give us the strength to forsake all of those and to walk away. Give us the strength that we can forsake relationships that we've had that are wrong. God, give us the strength to forsake every one of those. God, I pray a special prayer for every person listening. And God, I pray that You would continue the working of repentance in every heart that's listening to this right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, friends, I thank you for listening. This was a different message. It wasn't exactly a study on prophecy. It wasn't a study on the elements of prophecy, and I plan to do all of that. But thank you for listening.
You can make a copy of this and give it to your friend or loan this to your friend if you know someone that needs to hear a challenging word. Let your friends listen to it or your family members. So if some of you do have prayer requests, go to the website watchmanscry.com and drop me an email, and I promise that I will pray for your need. So God bless you, and continue listening, and we'll see you. God bless you.